Let's bow our heads in prayer. God, as we continue in worship this day through song and through word, may you not only be an inspiration to us, but may we respond to that inspiration and become more what you desire for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, it is Memorial Weekend, and I think that in most churches, maybe in other states, maybe would talk about three areas to remember, but I feel like living in Indianapolis, that also this is a weekend when, because of the race being such a strong part of the history of this community, that we would also remember those 15 race drivers who have died in a race since 1911, and I'm sure they will be remembered as a part of that starting of the 99th running of the race today. So what are the other three kinds of areas of remembrances for this day? And first of all, I'd suggest that we are remembering those who have gone before us personally and relationally. In other words, we are remembering those persons who have been a significant part of our own personal lives. And some of those persons have been away from us and with God for a number of years, but there are also persons who have just recently left this life to go be with God, just as one of our own members yesterday, Geneva Graves, passed away, and her service will be this Thursday. So she goes to be with God, and we remember her life. Our loved ones and friends go to be with God, and we remember their lives in any number of ways, some with going to the graveside and decorating that graveside as part of a tradition, or there might be some other personal rituals that you have as you remember. But I know, particularly as each of us gets older, I think that list sometimes gets a little longer as we are here longer on earth. So just a show of hands if any of you are remembering someone personally this day for Memorial Day. And I'm going to invite you just to keep those hands up for a moment. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. But we're going to be lifting this person in prayer as I ask us to bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and holy God, I thank you that you know our hearts, and you know in our hearts those persons that we are remembering this day, but we also lift up specifically these individuals, God. And we just thank you that they're in your safekeeping, and now ask that you be the comfort and the strength that we need this day as we remember. In the name of Jesus, amen. Certainly remember our loved ones this day. The second significant piece of remembrance this day is remembering those who have gone before us patriotically, having sacrificed their lives and shortened the time that they would have had to spend on this earth with their loved ones for the greater good of our nation and for the many freedoms that we have. And I guess I also add that sometimes freedoms that we often take for granted. I was thinking of a list of things to call that are the freedoms that we enjoy. Freedom of speech, to prosper, to succeed, to vote, to be able to have access to education, to have access to good health care, freedoms of religion. And as I make this list and I pause and I remember that there are many still across all over the world that live in places of tyranny and oppression. And if I ask them that question, what freedoms they see that we have as Americans, I have a sense that they would say to me that that list is not complete, and that they would even add to the length of that list. So we certainly have many someones who have served in armed services, who gave their lives in the line of duty, so that we are blessed and we do have these opportunities to enjoy these freedoms. I hope we remember that today. And finally, third, we come together as a church on Memorial Day on this Sunday to remember those who have gone before us spiritually. It's interesting to me, and I tried to find out in history how often this has happened, but I couldn't find an easy number and didn't take time to track it. But today in the life of the church, this is Pentecost Sunday. And it's interesting that Pentecost Sunday would intersect with Memorial Sunday. Memorial Sunday reminding us to remember those loved ones who have been a part of our lives, who have not any longer are with us, who have made a difference And then we look at Pentecost Sunday, and I say, remember. Remember Pentecost Sunday and what happened that day and how we build on that foundation and how we must not remember. So what is Pentecost Sunday all about? And that's what I want us to dwell on a little bit this morning is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is a part of the church calendar, a significant Sunday. As we go from Easter, it's 50 days after Easter is Pentecost Sunday. And in between there was Ascension Sunday when Jesus rose and went to heaven. But we finally come to Pentecost Sunday, and it's the realization, it's the reality, it's the fulfillment of the promise that God had said throughout Scripture, as he indicated that his advocate would come and be with us forever. His Holy Spirit would be with us forever. And that's what Pentecost Sunday is. It's the Sunday that we remember when the Holy Spirit came down to dwell with us here on earth. And we are reminded of this time and this experience of the day it happened. As we look into the book of Acts, chapter 2, I'll begin with verse 1, but today I'm going to be skipping around and pulling out verses, actually throughout Scripture, because I am reminded as I was praying and preparing for this time, thinking about the Holy Spirit, thinking about this time in the church, how throughout Scripture, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we were told that this was to become a reality for us. And now here is the fulfillment. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And that's referring to the apostles and some others. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. I'll be skipping over to verse 22. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law, but God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. This Jesus God raised up, and all of us are witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. He has poured out this that both you see and hear. Can you imagine being one of those persons in this room and sitting through this experience? Because as it's described as a huge wind, ruah in the early language, blew into the room. And then as it blew into the room, over each head was what looked like a flame of fire. And then all of a sudden, those individuals that were in the room began to speak all kinds of languages, and it was all a jumble. What would you do with that kind of moment? So the interpretation is, remember that God said this would happen. Remember God sent his Son to save each and every one of you. And when he was crucified, he took his Son to be back with God. And he said he wouldn't desert you. It wasn't as if God was here and then he left us. No. He sent his Son. He took his Son back to be with him and sent to us the Holy Spirit. And so that's what he was sending that day to those who were present, was the Holy Spirit, and saying, I am with you. My Spirit is with you and lives within you. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord calls to him. The promise wasn't just for that moment. He said it was for you and for your children. So this experience in this moment was to be remembered and to be continued to be practiced. And that's what we do as Christians today when we baptize. When we baptize, we remember that time that the Holy Spirit came, because at our baptism is the moment when the Holy Spirit comes to be inside every one of us and to live within our hearts and our spirits. So at our time of a baptism, we acknowledge this moment of Pentecost, and we acknowledge that the Holy Spirit comes to be and dwell within us, and it changes us, and it also gifts to every one of us spiritual gifts, that each and every one of us are enabled then and challenged to use in the way that we live out our lives so that we can be the church. How can we be the church? How can we be the hands and feet and voice of the church? It's because we are inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so in remembering this day, Pentecost, and what it means to us, we look forward to an opportunity that we're offering in the next couple weeks to this church. As we pause to take a moment to reflect on, particularly, what do our sacraments mean to us as Christians? So that they don't become acts that we just go through and maybe don't fully understand. How can we make those more meaningful to all of us? So we'll begin a two-Sunday series on sacraments. On June 7th, I'll be preaching on communion and what it means, what it truly means to all of us. And then we'll share a time of communion together. The week between June 7th and June 14th, we will offer several different classes on baptism for those who have not been baptized to be baptized, as we look forward to a celebration on June 14th that we will baptize everyone who has not already had that done. We plan to start at 10:30 in the morning between services, and any and all who want to come, and if we're looking for an opportunity, we may put our immersion pool outside. Those who want to be immersed can be immersed. Those who want to be sprinkled can be sprinkled. But we want to be the church as the church was on that day of Pentecost, because after they heard this news, after they had this experience, and after they knew what they needed to do, 3,000 were baptized that day. What a glorious moment that must have been to have 3,000 people be filled with the Holy Spirit and then launch them out into the world to be the church. So on Sunday, the 14th, we hope to be baptized. It'd be a blessing if it was 3,000, but we would hope to baptize many, many persons that day as we were called. Acts 2, 41 through 42 says this: "So those who welcomed his message were baptized. And that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." They didn't take these vows of baptism or that moment of baptism lightly. They knew what it meant is we're transformed now. And they knew that it was time to grow in their faith. And they began to live that faith boldly. Chapter 4. "And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant your servants to speak your word with all boldness." When they went out into the world after they were baptized, it wasn't necessarily an easy move to make, but they did so with boldness. "While you stretch out your hand to heal and the signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." When they had prayed, the place in which they gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Boldness. Two times in that scripture, it talks about the boldness that they went out. When they went out into the world, they knew they went out into the world with real potential to suffer and to become a martyr. They knew that when they went out into the world during the era of the reign of Nero, that it meant that they would be cruelly treated and put to death, often, many of them in the Colosseum. They knew that in practicing and committing to the ways of Christianity and sharing and talking about that with others, that it meant there was potential sure death for them. But this is what in the book of Hebrews it says about that kind of faith. I've lost my marking, so I'm going to pass that one for you right now. It says that they went out into the world and they shared without hesitation what God desired for them to share. So the question I ask us today as we take our message from Sunday into Monday, what about you and what about me in today's world? How boldly are we sharing our faith? How boldly are we sharing our faith and talking to others? You know, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, it talks about a time in history when there was lots of persecution against the Israelites as they lived in Jerusalem. They were being persecuted from everyone outside, and they weren't being very faithful in the way that they lived inside, and God was not happy with what he saw. And here's what he said when he was looking for somebody to stand in this gap and to help find a solution to this. And he said, I found no one. So, what would happen if God looks down at us and sees this gap between what the potential for Christianity and calls us to stand in that gap and to live in that gap and to share? Would God look at us and say, but I found no one? And I do wonder about Christianity today. I do wonder about the way that we face the challenge of being politically correct. The challenge that we face in living side by side with others who have a different faith or perhaps even a faith in nothing at all. And how do we as Christians, what do we do when we stand in that gap? Do we feel mostly compelled by the power all around us to be quiet and to make excuses for our faith? Or do we go ahead and stand up and speak out? I wonder if God was looking for that one voice today, where would it be? And as I think about the opportunities, I think about this last week. On Monday, did I tell anyone about God's love? On Tuesday, did I tell anyone what it means that Jesus Christ died for me? On Wednesday, did I maybe share my story of how I came to know Christ with anyone? On Thursday, if I ran into someone with no faith or another faith, was I hesitant to talk about Jesus in their presence? Was I too afraid I may offend them? On Friday, did I pray that the Holy Spirit would convict one of those hearts that I had encountered during the week? On Saturday, did I reach out to someone in pain and pray and share Christ's love? Because that's what bold living in the name of Christ and being the church that God desires us to be, that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. It looks like taking what we hear here on Sunday and saying, yeah, you know what, we have this foundation. We just sang a hymn. We have this foundation of Pentecost that has been done for us. We have a list of people who have lived before us, strong spiritually and never afraid to speak out and to share, who have lived before us. And so where are we in this list? And you know, even though we're called out to live this way, in Hebrew, book of Hebrews, it reminds you, I will never leave you or forsake you. As Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. We have been sent the Holy Spirit who will guide us and provide for us if we just live into that understanding. I believe that the connection of Memorial Sunday and Pentecost Sunday is very, very significant for us as the church to remember today those persons who have defended to the faith. We remember the people in the past, but then also to ask our questions, that when we are no longer here on earth, and when the people beyond our time look back and remember people who defended the faith, will any of us be in that listing? Would anyone who looked back and remember us say, oh yeah, Sarah, I remember her. She stood up for the church. She was never afraid to speak out. Oh yeah, I remember Bob. Everything to him was about his Christian faith. Would that include our name as we look back and remember those who defend the faith? Peter says this, now who will harm you if you're eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated. But in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. And I think these are real key words that probably help us to know how to stand in that gap, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. I wonder if sometimes, first, we may be afraid to stand up because we haven't prepared ahead for that moment. We haven't thought ahead of our short answer and our long answer when we're in those situations daily, of how we would speak of our church and our God and Jesus Christ. Maybe we haven't thought enough of that ahead of time that we have that answer just ready on the tip of our tongue. But maybe also, if we have that answer, maybe another piece that inhibits us a bit is this fear of this world of political correctness with our faith. And so maybe it helps, and perhaps what Peter says to us is helpful to us. Maybe it's not the fear of what we say or being politically correct. Maybe it helps if we know the how to do that, how we deliver what we have to say and share. Do we share it with love, boldly? Boldly doesn't have to mean aggressive. And here Peter says, yet do it with gentleness and reverence, as if we're speaking to a friend. Do it with gentleness and reverence. I wonder if that helps us to stand in that gap, so that we're not accused or not found guilty of being ashamed of the gospel. Because this day is Pentecost Sunday, and on this Sunday, God sent His Holy Spirit. It's the birthday of the church. This is the beginning of the church. That's why, symbolically, to remind us, when AJ was talking about tying a string around her finger or things that remind us, the switch to the color red is to remind us that the Holy Spirit came down in tongues of fire to ignite us to sharing the love of Christ, to be the hands and feet of Christ, be the voice of Christ for the world. So what does it look like for us to take this message from Sunday to Monday? I'd like to conclude with suggesting in four ways. First of all, we need to be reminded of the conviction that we have, to be convicted that God's word is true and this is our foundation that we are called to build on. Second, I remind us of the importance of compassion. Compassion in the way that we share with others, not to be aggressive, but that gentleness. And third, to have courage. As in Scripture says, be bold. Look for those opportunities, because every single one of us has those opportunities every single day of our lives. But we just don't look for them. We don't look for an opening, an opportunity to share. And finally, remember the consecration piece that is in Hebrews. We were reminded that, you know, I don't send you out into this world of wolves without any guidance or without any presence. We're not like the deist who says God was here and he's gone. The Holy Spirit is here with us now. And it convicts us to go and to be as we need to be in the world, the church. Happy Memorial Day and happy Pentecost Sunday. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Gracious and holy God, we do praise you and thank you that you are God who was not here and gone, but you are God who continues in your presence with us, and not only journeying with us and guiding us and providing for us, but also steering us in the right direction. So God, open our hearts and minds so that we may see your Spirit the way it provides gifts for us to serve you. In the name of Jesus, amen.